Morning. We're going to wake you up a little bit. My name is Jay Pryor. If you don't know me, I'm a lay member of this congregation, and it's my honor and privilege to be with you today. In my real life, I'm a life coach, and I have the honor and privilege of working with people to fulfill their dreams in their lives, and most importantly, to acquire success in their lives. And I define success as being happy and fulfilled in one's life. And the interesting thing about that is before I ever came to the Unity Church of Lawrence, I was already doing my business and being a coach. And then when I was introduced to Unity and Unity principles, I was like, but this is what I'm already doing. And it was amazing to me to find a church that forever had been practicing these principles that today coaches and personal development practitioners all over are using for people to have successful and happy lives. So for me, it was like a perfect, I walked in here and actually Jessica sent me to the Unity website and I looked at the five tenets of Unity and I was like, well, that's what I already believe. And that's what I'm already practicing in my life. And so it was so great for me to be able to find that. And then to have that be a working function in my life as a coach and also to practice it in my spiritual life has been a perfect marriage for me. So today, as I have this opportunity to speak with you, I thought that one of the things I wanted to share with you is what I do and some of the practices that I do with my clients that also are perfect, the same things that are Unity principles. And initially, I had said, when David asked me the topic, I had threw out the number five. I was going to come up with five, you know, ways to keep yourself stayed on spirit. And then as I reworked it this week, it was like, there's actually seven, so I lied. right, so those are the bonus ones. When I used to be back in my life before I came to Unity and was a student of New Thought, I pretty much had, for the most part, stayed away from, I was raised Catholic, so I didn't know the Bible at all. And even before that, when I had heard the Bible, the part of the Bible where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all else shall follow, I took that and heard that through ears that were offended by fundamentalists and who were afraid of fundamentalist Christians. And I would hear that and go, ah, right? Because in my mind, what I heard was, your job is to seek heaven and your job is to be good. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I got a little bit of an ornery mean streak in me. So it's hard for me to be good. Like being good for me is difficult. So I always took that as an affront, like, oh yeah, right, I'm just gonna be good. And that's seek first heaven and I have to earn my way to heaven. Then I came here and I took this great class called, it was the Keys to the Kingdom. And my whole life changed when I was able to see that verse, seek first the kingdom and all else will follow. It had me present to that if I put my energy towards, if I put my thoughts and my actions towards what I know is my own God or my own spirit, then the rest of my life seems to be in a sort of a flow. And what we know from personal development teachers, everyone from Abraham to Wayne Dyer to Tony Robbins to Jack Canfield to everybody out there who's teaching personal development, they all talk about this flow that we get into when we keep ourselves focused in that direction of our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. It almost occurs like magic when you're doing it. And for me, it's the one lesson I have to learn over and over and over and over again because I'm a human being, and so therefore I can go off in my own direction. And every time I have to get back to that, oh, where's my energy focus? I want to be focused on what I call my spiritual life and my spiritual practice. So today I thought I would share with you some of the ways that I keep myself stayed on spirit and that I use with my clients that are also woven into the Unity principles. The very first one is that I come to church. You'll notice that pretty much we're here every Sunday. If we're in town, we're here. And there's a reason for that. And as much as it's because I love you and I want to be with you, the other reason I'm here is because you call me to be. Like, some days, and today was one of them, to be honest, I was sharing with David, any time I've ever given a talk in my life or a lesson or a workshop, whatever I'm giving that talk on is in my face right up until the moment that I give it. And this week, because I've had it be stayed on spirit, believe me, I have been everywhere else but that. Right? I have just been, like, it's been crazy. There's just been part of me that's like, I'm too small for this. I don't want to do this. Why me? Blah, blah, blah. That whole conversation has been there. And even this morning, I was just like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. Right? And every time I walk through these doors, you call me to be something else. You don't know me like that. And I appreciate that so much because you expect more of me. Right? You expect me to be a leader in this community because that's who I say I am. And that's how I want to show up. And so coming to church gives me a community of people who call me to be. You call me to be bigger than I am. And that is something that is so important to me because I don't have that everywhere in my life. Right? I'm fortunate that I have it a lot of places. I set myself up for that. I have a wife who expects that of me. I have a spiritual group that I go to. I get called to be a lot, but church is one of those places. And so the other thing about church is, just like being of service, which is next, it gets me out of myself. Because when I'm up in here and feeling small and not wanting to play and all that, it's all about me, right? It's all right here. I'm not being about you. I'm worried about me and what's going on over here. And as soon as I walk through those doors and somebody asks for help with where's the key or the safe or what's going on, because I'm here enough that I know those things, I'm not talking about me anymore. I'm out with you. And that's my best place to be. That's when I'm at my highest best, is when I'm doing that. Which brings me to the second step or way that I stayed on spirit, which is which is being of service. Albert Einstein said, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. Calvin Coolidge said, no person has ever been honored for what he received. Honor has the reward of what he gave. And John C. Maxwell says, giving is the highest level of living. Tony Robbins says, contribution is a need all people have. Tony Robbins believes that there are two fundamental needs that all human beings have, and those are to be a contribution and to have lasting growth. And he says that not all people will have those fulfilled in their life, but that being a contribution and to satisfy the need of contribution is necessary for lasting fulfillment. And I know for myself in my own life that when I'm being of service, then again, I'm not focused on me, right? I get out of myself. The other thing I know and we know this from Unity principles and Unity teachings, we know about the law of circulation. And we know that what we put out comes back. And that the energy of service, when I give it out, it comes back to me. And when I'm of service to you, it comes back to me tenfold. And so one of the ways that I keep myself focused on the spirit within me is to continually be of service. When I took that class way back in the day and I was reminded about this, because I'll share later the first time I ever had that experience. When I was reminded of that, we put ourselves on the hook to do 90 minutes of spirit work a day and to give 4 hours of service a week. And Jessica and I have pretty much kept that up. Like, that's a tithe for us, as we do at least 4 hours of service work a week. Most of the time we do more than that, to be honest. But that's at least our minimum, is a 4 hour of service a week. And that really serves us. I mean, it really has us in that conversation of always giving back, and then we get, and it's a cycle. The third way that I stay focused on spirit is through meditation. Yes, last week David spoke on having a spiritual practice, and he spoke about the fact that throughout centuries, when people talk about a spiritual practice, that there's an inner focus and an outer focus. Service would be that outer focus, that focus on you. There also, I feel like, as a spiritual practice and a way to stay focused on spirit is to have an inner practice. And for me, meditation is very powerful for that. Also, from a perspective of personal development, you guys, there's just no reason not to meditate. I mean, the statistics and the studies are off the chart for what it does for your brain. So there are brain studies all over the place, and they're exploding. You can go out on the internet and find them all over the place. You can go Google how meditation trains your brain, or just Google anything about brain science and meditation, and you will be filled with a plethora of studies. One study I ran into is by Rebecca Gladding, is an MD, and she published this May 22nd of 2013. And she says this, essentially the science proves what we already know to be true from those of us who actually experience meditation. What the data demonstrates is that meditation facilitates strengthening the assessment center of the brain, weakening the unhelpful aspects of the me center. So in our brain, we have a me center, and that's the part of our brain that looks at the world at, like, from everything's about me, right? And literally what she explains in her article is that that's the part of your brain that when you have a feeling like you have a, oh, I have a headache, if your me center is really wired and it's going, that me center is going to go, I have a headache, I must have a tumor. You know, like it's that kind of, it's all about me and it's all fear-based, right? And so she says that it can cause you to take things personally, and I mean everything personally. Meditation is strengthening the helpful parts of the me center involved in empathy and understanding of others. So in this me center of the brain, there's the part that's solely focused on you, and then there's the part of our brains that actually are focused on empathy and understanding of others. And changing the connections to and from the body sensation and fear centers that you experience, your sensations are less reactive and more balanced in a holistic way. In a very real way, you're literally changing your brain for the better when you meditate. And she goes on to talk about how these neural patterns are tight, and what meditation does is it loosens those connections. It gives your brain some wiggle room to not have it be so wound up. And I don't know about y'all, but I need that. Like, really? Because sometimes I can be a little uptight. I don't know if you know that about me, but it can happen. Number four is affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer is something that I learned when I came to Unity as in a different aspect. I knew about affirmations. I knew about affirmations from Jack Canfield. The Success Principles by Jack Canfield is one of my favorite books. I call it my success Bible, essentially, because you cannot pick up that book and flip to a page and not have something. You'll be inspired. You'll have something new to take on in your life. And Jack talks about affirmations from a perspective of affirming what you want in the world. When I came to Unity, I learned a different perspective about affirming when I took the class Lessons in Truth when Sharon taught it here. And it's one of my favorite books, Lessons in Truth. I was rereading it this morning and this week, and I'm going to go back. I've just put it on my list to go back and reread again because it's so powerful. And in Lessons in Truth, Emily Cady breaks down affirmations into basically there's four that you need. And essentially, they're all about what we're talking about. It's reminding you that there's one power and presence in the universe. It's reminding you that you are a part of that, that you are the essence of that. And those are really the only affirmations that you need. The problem with affirmations, though, is we have a tendency, as our little wiring is going, if we don't believe it, we have to deal with our BS, which is our belief system, that tells us that it's not true. So unless we're really grounded in spirit, we can have an affirmation that says, I am the overflowing consciousness of God, and there's a little part of me that goes, BS, right? That's crap, because I don't feel it. And so what I've learned about affirmations is to be able to have a phrase that I go to that I can honestly believe, that I can really know is the truth for myself. And to have an anchor, I call it my anchor affirmations, and this is what I do with my clients, is I have one phrase that I just go back to. I just go back to. Now for me, right now and where I am in my life, I can say I am thrilled with the path my life is on and believe it. I am thrilled with the path my life is on. I have a pretty amazing life. And even though it scares the bejesus out of me right now, I am headed towards some pretty powerful stuff in my life. And I'm thrilled with that. Now, there was a time in my life when that would have been a BS meditation, BS affirmation. So I have my clients start with baby steps in affirmations. If you're new to Unity or you're new to affirmations, you can start with a baby step affirmation. And it might even be something like, I am on the right path. Just that feeling that I am headed in the right direction. Anytime your brain starts to go berserk and yammer at you in your monkey mind and tell you all kinds of things that you don't want to hear, you can anchor back into that affirmation, I am on the right path, whatever it is. Also in Lessons in Truth, Emily Cady introduced me to denials. This is something that I find very powerful. And essentially, again, because your brain is going to spew stuff, it does it. We all know it does. Having a denial to say, none of that's really real, is helpful. With my clients, what I do is I just give them a denial. And that denial is, I give that thought no power. I give that thought no power. And my clients love that because when you're getting yammered at by your brain, to be able to stop yourself and say, I give that thought no power, it reminds me of get thee behind thee, Satan. It's like, back off. You know, it's like, that's not who I am. And so my clients, I just give them that affirmation. Say this to yourself, I give that thought no power, and then step into a powerful affirmation that affirms where you want to be. So affirmations and denials was something that I had already been exposed to, but coming into Unity gave it a whole new depth and a whole new breadth of why it's powerful and why it works. And I'm so appreciative of that. Number five, are we on five? Yes, number five. This is one that, number five is something that Jessica and I talked about, actually. And this is another reason why I had to add a couple more. Is because one of the things that Jessica and I do to keep ourselves stayed on spirit is that we sing. And you just saw us sing, and she can come and sing with me, and when I'm at home and I'm like, you know, freaking out and being scared, and we just sing together, and it opens up my heart. And for us, music is the thing that opens up our hearts. For some of you, it might be walking in nature. For some of you, it may be throwing a frisbee, climbing a mountain. Whatever, dancing, whatever it is. But part of what's necessary about being able to keep your focus on spirit is doing stuff that fills your spirit up. Doing stuff that inspires you. Doing things that have you present to the momentous glory of God. Things that open up that heart chakra, that space, and has you present to love. And for us, that's music. And dancing, you know, those kind of things. For me, if I'm in a bad space, I can just sing a spiritual song and I can be up. I have a CD that I go to all the time, which is called All Is Well, and it's by Monique Danielle. I could put that CD in and I'm transformed, immediately transformed if I listen to that music. Now, there has to be a willingness on my part to do that, and that's why it's a muscle to flex, because this is the area in my clients' lives that always gets tossed out the window, right? There's always never enough time. When you are living your lives and you're busy, what you run out of time for are things that feed your spirit and your soul. And for some reason, it's a weird, you know, cycle that human beings get into. I see it constantly with my clients. They're busy, busy, busy. They're working their corporate job and they're, you know, trying to get their family fed and get their kids taken care of and do all this stuff and be sort of service out in the community, and they totally forget that the thing that they need to do is go spend some time feeding their soul and feeding their spirit. Because when they do that, when I put them on the hook to do that and they start to realize how powerful that is, everything else they do in the world gets done. They're still feeding their kids, they're still working their corporate job, they're still serving out in the community, but they're doing it with a new level of zeal. They're doing it with a new level of energy, because they've filled themselves up with what they love to be inspired by. So if you don't know what that is, I highly encourage you to figure it out. Like, what is it that you love to do that has your heart open up? And again, for us, it's music. It just always works for me, anytime. I highly recommend that you do that. Number six is practicing gratitude. I don't think I have to say a whole lot about this. You all know it. Gratitude is that vibration that has us soar. It opens up that heart space. Melanie Greenberg, PhD, is a clinical psychologist, and she says, experience and expressing gratitude is an important part of a spiritual practice. It opens up the heart and activates positive emotion centers in the brain. Again, working on that brain. Regular practice of gratitude can change the way our brain neurons fire into a more positive, automatic patterns. The positive emotions we evoke can soothe distress and broaden our thinking patterns so we develop a larger and more expansive view of our lives. Gratitude is an emotion of connectedness, which reminds us we're a part of a larger universe with all living things. So not only is gratitude just, you know, great for your spirit, but now we know it helps the brain. And anything you can do, anything I can do to fix this thing, it can get a little crazy. The very last one is, for me, one of the most important. As I had mentioned when I took that class we put ourselves on the hook to do, essentially to give 10% of our time, talent, and our treasure. So we committed to give 10% of our money that came in. We committed to give 90 minutes a day, which was a lot, of stuff focused on spirit, whatever it was, either listening to spiritual music or reading spiritual books, those kind of things. And then we gave another time in 4 hours a week in service. When I had that experience after doing 90 minutes a day of a week, I felt like I was floating. I felt like, gosh, wow, everything in the world is just floating along. And I was reminded that I'd had that experience before. And the first time I had that experience was when I was 19 years old, and I was involved in a 12-step program. And I had an assignment from my coach, from my sponsor at that time, to read what is the third step prayer in 12-step programs every hour on the hour. And when I did that, even though I was 19 years old, I was working a job that I didn't necessarily like, I was pretty confused in the world about where I was and what was happening to me, all of a sudden my life took on a flow that I had never experienced before. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. And at the time, my understanding of that was that I was doing thy will, not my will. And getting out of my own self-centered world and asking every hour, on the hour, I turned it over and said, thy will, not my will be done. And to me, it was like magic. It was like, wow, this is amazing. If I just say this prayer every hour on the hour, all of a sudden I'm in this flow. Well, now I'm 47. Sorry, I couldn't remember how old I was for a second. How old am I? Now I'm 47. And when I took that class, I had the exact same experience. And so what I took away from that, and what I still take away from that, is that there is no greater muscle to flex than being able to just turn it over. And when I work with my clients, if I can get them to this place, because when clients come to me, they're not often in a conversation about their spiritual life. We get there eventually because that's the people I attract, fortunately. But when they're first there, and sometimes when I say to them, I want you to, sometimes there's just things that you got to turn over. Like, there's nothing you can do about this. You got to turn it over. Often they don't know what I'm talking about. And so I'm so grateful that at the age of 19, I had this experience because it has been a muscle that I've been flexing for years. And I can turn stuff over pretty easily. Here in Unity, we have a booklet. They sell these down in the bookstore for like 25, 50 cents or something, called The Golden Key by Emmett Fox. And in this booklet, essentially what Emmett says is that anytime you have a problem, if you want to get over the problem, golden key it. And what he calls golden keying it is essentially taking your thoughts and shifting them to God. Anytime you think of the problem, you go, nope, stop, shift it, shift your thoughts to God. And that's what's called golden keying it. It's the same thing as turning it over. Anne Lamott has a book out called Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers. Now, there's a reason that help is the first prayer, because even though we pray affirmatively and we affirm and know and see that all is well in our lives, occasionally there's those times when a help is there, and that's all we can get on our lips. But I swear to you, if you do it, it always works. There's never a time in my life whenever I have been in a place where I was all bunched up that didn't say help, or it didn't say thy will not mine be done, or I release and let go, or I surrender, that I didn't get peace the next moment. It's always worked for me. Always, always, always. And again, because if you're not used to it, it's something to flex your muscle around. So what I recommend is that you have a help prayer. For me, it's I surrender. I let go. You know, you can have it. I ask the Holy Spirit to come through me. That stuff like that. Because sometimes there's just things that, boy, I can't get my mind off of it. And if I can't get my mind off of it, then I'm like, I'm not serving myself or anybody else. When I can just let it go, turn it over, I have some peace, and then I have some space. And in that space, I can figure out what I can proactively do to get myself refocused back on spirit, get myself refocused back on my mission and what I'm about. Having There's no mistake that that help is right there. And for me, having an anchor, being able to know how to do that is so powerful for me. And when I'm constantly doing it, like just, whew, I just surrender, right? Then if I'm doing it on a regular basis, my life, I get into that flow. That's when I feel, I can actually feel like the rhythm and of spirit. And there's nothing that's a problem for me. And that's what I think is remarkable. You know, I mean, anything can happen. This week, like I said, I've had in my face has been this topic of stayed on spirit. I mean, yesterday I literally flipped somebody off, guys. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was like, oh, right? And I'm ready to fight somebody, okay? So this is not always, you know, it's not like it doesn't take practice. But whenever I am in that flow, whenever I'm turning it over and I'm surrendering on a regular basis, even the thing that I flipped the guy off for could have happened and it wouldn't bother me, right? Because that's being in the flow. When I'm in that flow, all of a sudden it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing out there. It's all in here is what matters. And in here I'm settled and I'm turned it over and I'm at peace. And that's what I want for you. It's to always be in that flow. Of course, you know, here we've got some of us are in the flow and some of us aren't. And that's why we come here and do it together, right? So we learn from each other and we grow from each other. And we have those opportunities to keep our focus stayed on spirit. And the reminder of who we really are. Every Sunday in this church, we affirm that there is one power and presence in the universe. And that's God the good. And when you know the truth of yourself, that you are that one power, that you're part of that one power, then you can get present to who you truly are. I invite you to get comfortable in your chair, and I ask Jessica to come up. She's going to sing a song for you, and at the end of that song, we're going to go into meditation.